This is Central Time. Bonobos are one of humankind's closest primate relatives, along with chimpanzees, and the only facility in the world committed to the care, preservation, and research of bonobos is here in the Midwest. Our next guest is a UW-Milwaukee alum who helps run the program here for a look at what they do and what we can learn about from bonobos about our own evolution. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you heard of bonobos? What do you know about them? What questions do you have about ape research and conservation? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Amanda Epping is the Director of Operations at the Ape Initiative in Des Moines, Iowa. She earned her bachelor's and master's degrees in anthropology at UW-Milwaukee. Amanda, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, people are probably pretty familiar with chimps. Not as many maybe know a lot about bonobos. I know less about them than I do chimps. Give us bonobo basics. Who are they? What do they do?
Sure. So bonobos, along with chimps, like you mentioned, are our closest living relatives. However, bonobos are just a little bit different. And I think because we are so familiar with chimps, maybe I'll start with how they're different than chimps. So bonobos are only found sort of south of the Congo River in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, whereas chimps and certainly the very charismatic gorillas are found sort of widespread throughout Africa. And then I think a really important difference is that bonobos are a matriarchal society. So the females are in charge, mom and all her friends kind of rule the roost, for lack of a better word, and the boys just sort of need to fall in line. And then another kind of really big difference is that chimps really like to eat fruit. Gorillas really like to eat leaves. Bonobos are sort of happy eating either. So they are one of the great apes and very, very closely related to chimps and us.
And one concern, obviously, is they are endangered. How worried are we about the bonobos' future?
So the bonobos are extremely endangered because they are endemic to that area. So the population estimate is as few as 20,000. And when they use language like that for a population estimate, I think that always kind of tells us we're really not sure how many there are. We just know there aren't very many.
Take us to the Ape Initiative. What goes on there?
Yeah, so the Ape Initiative, we are a nonprofit. We're the only non-zoo facility in all of North America that has bonobos. So there's us. There are 7 zoos in all of North America that have them, including actually Milwaukee County Zoo has the largest population of bonobos. And then we collaborate with scientists from across the globe on different behavioral and cognitive research projects to understand bonobos, and then kind of through bonobos, kind of using bonobos as a window into our own place in the natural world. That's really sort of our main stick. While we're not open to the public, we do host both in-person and virtual education experiences for students and educators, kind of hoping that same, that connection with the bonobos can lead to further discovery and interest and sort of inspire that next generation. The facility is built on 230-ish acres in Des Moines proper. Des Moines is the capital of Iowa. So it's really unique that in the capital city, we have this big kind of chunk of land. The building itself is about 20,000 square feet. We've got 18 different indoor enclosures, 4 different outdoor enclosures. And we give the bonobos as much choice as we possibly can for, you know, where they want to go, which of the other 6, we have 7 total. So which of the 7 bonobos they want to spend their time with, and sort of like give them lots of choices in the day. In a perfect world, they work on one research project every day and they do one, you know, we ask the bonobos to sort of help us help them. So participate in training and stuff so we can make sure that they're happy, healthy, and you know, living the best life that they can.
A really interesting thing to me is it sounds like people from all over the world might apply, researchers from around the world might apply to work with your bonobos there, and they can do that if the bonobos are cool with it, right? The bonobo, you don't kind of force the bonobos to participate in the research that goes on there.
No. So if anyone's ever met a bonobo, you know that you really can't force a bonobo to do anything that they don't want to do. So we do, myself and really our whole team, we spend a lot of time, our director especially, kind of working with these researchers to make sure that we think that the bonobos will think the project is fun. We think that they'll want to do it. You know, we'll try to come up with a way that it's interesting and engaging to them. You know, if you think about it, like, they have a big brain and they're very smart and they're complex. And so stretching those brain muscles in theory should be sort of fun for them, sort of like us working on a puzzle. And so we encourage them, you know, to work on it, and we try to make it as fun for them as possible. But of course, if they don't want to, they just walk away. We don't withhold any food or anything from them. So it's always their choice. And it's always sort of a random hodgepodge of them who will participate in any given project.
Amanda Epping is with us, Director of Operations at the APE Initiative in Des Moines, Iowa. We're talking about our organization's bonobo research and conservation efforts and what our close relative species could tell us about human society and evolution. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Want to hear what you think, what questions you have. Have you ever seen the bonobos that Amanda mentioned at the Milwaukee County Zoo? It's a big group, the biggest group outside of their natural habitat. Join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Amanda Epping, UW-Milwaukee alum and Director of Operations at the APE Initiative in Des Moines, Iowa. We're talking about bonobos, how her organization researches, cares, works with them, and what they could teach us as one of humanity's closest primate relatives. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about bonobos? Have you seen them in action, maybe in the Milwaukee County Zoo? Join in at 800-642-1234. Amanda, I've used the phrase, you know, what they could teach us, bonobos could teach us about being human. I know we look a lot at our closest primate relatives to get ideas about what our earliest human ancestors might have been like. And the impression I get is if you're only looking at chimps, you're going to get one picture. How do bonobos fill out that picture of what it might mean to be human?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I think, you know, the end of the answer is going to be like, we are still trying to figure all of that out. But there are a lot of things that actually Franz de Waal, who's a famous researcher who recently, unfortunately, passed away, he said that if we walked into the forest and we saw bonobos first rather than chimpanzees, we would have never looked for another model for humans again. And I think that was, you know, I kind of mentioned that chimps are really interested in fruit. And if you think about the apple tree has 10 apples. And that's sort of, and there might be 20 chimps and there's 10 apples. And they really need to, they need to protect that resource. So a little bit more territorial. And then on the other side of that, they kind of live in the same area as gorillas. Gorillas, because they live in the same area as chimps, sort of had to specialize to eating vegetation. And so bonobos are really the only apes that don't live among, or at least in Africa, they don't live among other apes. And because of that, they may retain some more ancestral traits, right? Because they've got food, which has allowed their social behavior to really kind of flourish, because we're not so worried about the 10 apples in the apple tree. And so they may be a better model for early humans because they may retain more of those ancestral traits.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Aaron is with us in Wind Lake. Aaron, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Aaron?
Well, I wanted to know, what is the most surprising thing that Amanda has found out?
Oh, working with bonobos, Aaron, what is the biggest surprise so far for you, Amanda?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm not sure if anyone's ever asked me that. I think that, so some of these bonobos really early in their life were used in language research studies, and they are able to use a picture keyboard and communicate by touching a picture and saying, I would like orange juice, you know? But I think the most surprising thing for me is that the other bonobos, even bonobos who have come to live here in Des Moines from a zoo or, you know, somewhere else, didn't learn the language, the picture keyboard when they were really young, that it is, because they are so like us, it's very, very easy to communicate with them without having to use human language. One of my favorite things that happens at the facilities when we have kids here, the bonobos and the kids will start playing a game, and the bonobo understands the rules of the game and the kid understands the rules of the game, and they're running back and forth between the glass and they're both laughing and they're having a great time, and they were able to kind of communicate all of that through glass without using any words.
Aaron, thanks a lot for the question. Marcus is with us now in Milwaukee. Marcus, hi.
Hi. So my question is, are the numbers of bonobos so low because of just them being hunted as bushmeat during the whatever 40, 50 year civil war, or whatever you want to call it, in the Congo? Or is it because of diseases? And then the second thing is, I have gone to the Milwaukee County Zoo since I was a kid. And one time I was with my grandpa watching them try and make it some bonobos to go back into a different portion of the cage. And the zookeeper said to us, you know, trying to force them to do anything, bonobos, it's a no-go.
Marcus. Yeah, so- Go ahead, Amanda.
I was going to say, yeah, bonobos can certainly be very stubborn.
And Marcus's question about what are the threats? Why are bonobo populations so low?
So he brought up a very good point that there's been a lot of civil unrest and bushmeat trade in that area of the Congo. So the biggest threats to bonobos are exactly that, bushmeat trade and deforestation. And then the other part is they're really kind of boxed in by that Congo River. So there isn't room for them to sort of expand outside of where they live. So as the forest gets smaller, of course, that only boxes them in more and more.
Thanks for the call, Marcus. And Amanda, at the APE Initiative, do you work with other organizations around the world on conservation?
We do have a partner in the Congo that we have been working with, and there is one sanctuary called Lola Ya Bonobo that is sort of working on trying to, before bonobos end up somewhere we don't want them to be, like in a privately owned, you know, home or something, they try to intercept that and re-release them into the wild before they end up in a situation where that's not possible.
And that, thanks again for the call, Mark, because that brings up a point. One of your missions there, I think, is to educate people that, you know, apes might look cool and in human-like in some ways. They are not pet material, really. It's not good for anybody. Is that right?
That is correct. We are so careful about what we put out in the world because we don't ever want to give the impression that, you know, even though these bonobos are really well trained and they love to work on a touchscreen computer, it certainly doesn't mean that you want one in your house working on a touchscreen computer. You know, we want these bonobos to be acting like bonobos, and we want to learn as much about them so we can provide them with all the things they need to live a happy bonobo life.
Let's bring on another caller now. Terry is with us in Milwaukee. Terry, hello.
Hi. I have a question. Mm-hmm. I am from Milwaukee, and when I go to the Milwaukee County Zoo, there really doesn't seem, because you said that the Milwaukee County Zoo has more bonobos than any other zoo, is very disheartening, because I think there's only like 5 or 6, if even that many. And the other question I have is, at your organization in Iowa facility, you say that you only have 6 or 7 bonobos there? There's not a whole lot of bonobos since there's such a social family net. That's my question.
Terry, thanks for the call. Are there enough bonobos at each of those sites, Amanda, to give them the social connections that they need?
Yeah, it's a great question. I can't, unfortunately, speak a lot to Milwaukee's, you know, management of their bonobo group. I know they do have some areas that maybe aren't on exhibit. That could be part of that. And on our end, we do feel like 7 is probably not enough, and we're actively working with other facilities. So one thing that happens in bonobo society, both in the wild, and we try to emulate that in captivity as well, is that when bonobo females reach sexual maturity, so about, let's say, 9 to 13 years old, you are never going to be cooler than mom and her friends, and mom and her friends are in charge. So the bonobo females will emigrate out of the group. And so we are, you know, actively speaking with the other organizations and saying, hey, like, if you've got a young female, it's time for her to go. Maybe she's rising in the ranks, causing a little trouble. We'd be happy to have her come here, and sort of, we're trying to kind of bring our numbers to even. So we have 3 females and 4 males currently. And it is just it's a small population in captivity and the wild.
Thanks again for that call, Terry. Now, you're working with that group of bonobos there, Amanda. Do they really have distinctive personalities among the group?
Oh, 1,000%. That was my second choice for most surprising thing. They are so unique, and they all have different wants and needs, and, you know, senses of humor. Even we have one bonobo who's super goofy, and he plays with the other bonobos. Just we don't ever go in their enclosures with them, but he'll play with us, you know, through a safe barrier. And we have one bonobo who can be kind of moody. It's a super gray and rainy day here in Des Moines, and he's been laying out under a blanket in the slow rain today. So their personalities are just about as distinct as they come. Just I argue probably just as unique as human personalities. And that's part of the challenge, right? If we want them to participate in training or a research project, we've got to find what motivates them. So some are very, very motivated by food, and that grape or piece of, or, you know, drink of juice is really motivating. Some are motivated by having some one-on-one time with care staff that they really trust. And some are motivated by play. They don't need a drink of juice. They'd rather just have you tickle their toes. And so yes, very unique personalities, and that's one of the best things about getting to work with them.
And Amanda, just in our last half minute or so, if people wanted to get involved in bonobo conservation, what kind of groups would you point them toward?
Well, we have, that's a good question. I think you can check out our website for a list of all of our collaborators. It's apeinitiative.org, and then there's collaborators, and that will give you a huge list of researchers working on projects with bonobos kind of around the globe. I think that'd be a great place to start.
Amanda, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Amanda Epping is a UW-Milwaukee alum and director of operations at the APE Initiative in Des Moines, Iowa. It's a research facility dedicated to bonobo research and conservation. She talked to us about her work there and what studying bonobos can teach us about human behavior. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, we'll meet a U.S. Vietnam War vet and a Vietnamese activist who are working together to safely remove unexploded bombs from the long-running conflict in the region. And more Americans identify as LGBTQ in public opinion surveys, and that's especially true of younger generations of Americans. We'll dig into the trends and what's driving them. You can get started right now with an email, ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org. Are you seeing that trend play out in your family, in your community, in your school? Again, email ideas@WPR.org. Then join those conversations. That's tomorrow here on Central Time.